Well, good morning, Crossroads Arlington. How are you guys doing this morning? Thank you so much for being in the room with us. Thank you guys so much for joining us online, whether you're watching live or watching later today or later in the week. So glad that you're here, and we hope that you're enjoying your 4th of July holiday weekend as much as we can in these times. We're going to have a worship song here in just a second. Let me pray for our morning. We'll get started. Lord, thanks so much for this morning. And God, we're thankful that we do actually get to celebrate a holiday weekend. Despite all the things that are swirling around in our world right now, Lord, that we're thankful for the independence that you've granted us in your Son, first and foremost, through the cross and through his blood and sacrifice. And so, Lord, thank you that you have freed us from sin and death. And Lord, also, thank you so much that you've placed us in a country, Lord, where we have things that we're working on, we have things that we're struggling against, Lord, but we are thankful that we can worship free from oppression right now in Jesus' name. So God, will you meet with us, Lord? We are expectantly waiting for your return and for you to be with us as well. And it's in your name. Amen. 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 Tanya.
Forever. Lord, as we are continuing through this Revelation series, what a perfect song to sing as we await your coming and just cannot wait to be with you in paradise. We love you so much, Lord, and we give this morning to you. Would you speak to us now? In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was going to say you may be seated, but most of us are seated. It is great, great, great to see you here today. Yesterday was a great holiday. It was wonderful, great. It was a little cool. At least we had sun, but it was a little chilly, right? I think it felt like 110 degrees, but what a blessing. You count your blessings. I told Tony yesterday we had some friends come over and we were out. God has blessed us. We have a pool at our house and we're in the pool, and I just came in and I said, honey, why do we have all? Oh. Okay. I said, why do we get such blessing? Do you know one of the real gifts of God is to? Okay. One of the great blessings of God is to be able to know how much we have. And Paul talked about that. This is going to give me trouble today, but I'm going to need it. It's okay. I'll try not to move. You know, one of the greatest gifts that you can have is the ability to appreciate what you have. And Paul called that being content. You know, I've learned to be content if I'm in jail, if I'm free, if I have a lot, if I have a little. And, you know, whether we have a little or a lot, we can, I'm really being careful here. This could hinder me a bit. Put it right here. Okay. So anyway, well, it's all right, though, because when things like this happen, we're reminded that this is not a show. We're a group of people. We come together. We love Jesus Christ. He's our Lord and our Savior. We play some music and do some things, but it's really about just simply worshiping Him. I don't even think there's technology that can go wrong in heaven. You know, it can go wrong here. But I have what I think is going to be just a great message for us this morning. And I really hope that you can embrace what we have in Jesus Christ. Because when we embrace what it is that we have, I want to tell you that no matter what's happening around us, it cannot touch us. It just can't, because we live above it. We live above it. So let's continue our study, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I want to do a quick review of what we've covered so far. Okay, so chapters 1 through 3, we find that John is on an island called Patmos. And he receives a vision from God of things that are to come in the last days. And he's told to write down the things that he sees. And really, the book of Revelation is John writing down what he saw in a vision. And him just writing down the things that were going to take place. We saw early in chapters 2 and 3, there were 7 churches in Asia Minor that were given a divine report card, which could also be a representation of 7 historical ages. At that time, they would have been future, that would happen in the church, of which many believe, if that's true. It's called a historical approach, that this age is the last age, the age of the Laodicean church, the church that was lukewarm. They weren't hot, they weren't cold, and they were risking being spit out of Jesus' mouth. Okay. We found that the church was no longer mentioned after Revelation chapter 3, perhaps meaning that the rapture of the church had taken place at that point in the vision that John had. In chapters 4 through 7, John finds himself at the throne of God, where all who are present are passionately worshiping God the Father and Jesus the Lamb. A scroll was presented, and on the scroll were 7 seals. Only Jesus was found worthy to open the scroll, which contained judgments. Judgments from God that would come upon the world. As the Lamb opened the seals, 7 angels unleashed judgments on the earth and on mankind. The 7th seal had within it 7 trumpet judgments, which were the next series of judgments. Okay, and then chapters 8 and 11, the 7 trumpet judgments were sounded, and it escalated God's judgment, the intensity of it. Yet people, it tells us, refused to repent. They just wouldn't repent. They wouldn't bow their knee to Jesus Christ. By the way, when we come together to worship God, it's an opportunity for us to bow our knee before our Savior. Now, some of you, maybe you don't like that posture of bowing your knee. Maybe it's rough on your back or on your knees, and that's fine. That's all good. But we bow our hearts in worship before God. And that's what we're called to do. And people won't do that. God is sending his judgment, trying to wake up the world, and they won't do it. But God sends 2 witnesses, and they preach the gospel with great power for 3.5 years. Remember the term time, times, and half a time, for 42 months, for 1,260 days. And then, hey, can I get a handheld mic? Because this is really going to be a problem. Don't test the microphone. My fault. My bad. I didn't test it. Okay. So the 2 witnesses were sent, and this is during the tribulation period, that last 7 years. We're going to learn about that specifically today. And a beast, a high-ranking demonic being, rises up from the abyss. The 2 witnesses are killed by the beast, their dead bodies left in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. And then these 2 witnesses, this is from last week, they were raised from the dead, and God took them to heaven. And the world watched that. Now, that kind of catches up on what we've covered so far in our study, the revelation of Jesus Christ. But now I want to give you some Old Testament prophetic background from the book of Daniel. So we're going to go in the Old Testament, and you're going to learn some things today that are going to give you ammunition to understand how the Bible, how we know the Bible is true, and how we know that the things that are written in the New Testament are true because many of the things written in the Old Testament have already been fulfilled. And here we are talking about things that are yet to come, have not yet happened, but you're going to see how the things that we're experiencing today have been predicted many, many, many years ago. And we're going to look at Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to look at a prophecy called the prophecy of the 70 weeks. And I'm going to explain this to you, and I need you to try and understand what I'm saying. It's a little complex, but it becomes very simple at the end, okay? So let's begin. So in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel, a prophet, was a captive in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar had come to the nation of Israel and had taken them out of Israel, out of Jerusalem and Judah, and brought them captive into Babylon. Daniel was one of the early ones that was taken captive out of their land. God was bringing judgment at this time to the nation of Israel. This idea of God bringing judgment to his people when they disobey him, it's not foreign. It's not the first time. We're going to see the last time in Revelation, but it's not the first time God has brought judgment to his people when they disobeyed him. And Daniel, the prophet, was a captive in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, the king, and he was studying prophecies of Jeremiah, trying to understand the number of years that must pass before the end of desolations, he says, destructions of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the holy city of God. And they had gone through and were going to go through many judgments, desolations. Okay, Daniel knew that the number of years for his present, the present desolation of Jerusalem, would be 70 years because Jeremiah wrote about that. Then Daniel turns to the Lord with prayers of fasting and repentance for the sins of the people that had resulted in such a hard discipline from the Lord. It's really interesting because the nation of Israel went through judgment after judgment, you read about that throughout the Old Testament. What would happen is the flock would get thinned out. And there would be a remnant of people that were left. And God would bring judgment, trying to get the nation of Israel's attention. Because they were disobeying. Now, this is before Christ. Christ hadn't come yet. Okay? And but he needed to deal with them. And Daniel is asking the Lord to... He's praying, and he's taking responsibility for the sins that resulted in the judgment, even though Daniel wasn't one of the ones. Daniel was faithful to God. Do you know, as we pray for our nation, it's really a good thing for us to not say, Lord, take care of those guys. You know, take care of all the people that are sinning. What Daniel did is he identified with the sins of the nation, even though he wasn't committing them. When we want to see revival come, when you're living in a country, what was the song? A country that's turned from God, that's darkness. We are, okay? When you're living in that kind of a country, you identify because we're part of it. You may not be committing some of the sins, but we identify with those sins, and we pray against it as we ask God for mercy. And I'm just reminded, I know it's a holiday weekend, and that's why people aren't here. And I know that we have an uptick in cases, but it just kind of gives us a little. That's why there's less people here, probably less people watching live. By the way, I'm really happy when people stay home and watch. But when they watch it on Sunday afternoon or they bump it to Wednesday, pretty soon those of you that don't need to stay home but are staying home because you really enjoy sleeping, pretty soon you're going to get out of the habit completely. Prophecy. I'm going to make a prediction, okay? The church is being thinned out. The church in America is being purged of people who are not serious. And it starts by, hey, we don't have to go anymore. That's fine, right? We couldn't go, and we live stream. Yes, we're doing that, and I see the pattern. Wow, I know people that have no problem being outdoors, no problem going to stores, but it's easier to stay home and watch, and for a while they're watching live, and then I'll watch it on Sunday afternoon because I'd rather sleep in, and I can really stay up late on Saturdays, and then I'll watch it during the week and maybe Tuesday, then it gets bumped to Thursday, and the next thing you know, you're loading up because you're falling behind, and it's going to become very easy. I'm not really necessarily talking about Crossroads, although we're included. I'm talking about the church in America is being purged. And this will be a test to find out who's serious. Not about church. Who's serious about Jesus? Church is something we're called. The church gathers. We don't go to church. We gather together as the Lord told us to. But I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. But here's the deal. Jesus wins. So there's nothing, his victory has nothing to do with our faithfulness. His faithfulness has nothing to do with our lack of faithfulness. We'll see how this plays out, but I know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be following Jesus Christ more than ever before with all my heart and soul until the day I die by God's grace. And this is exactly what I'm doing, and I hope you're going to do it too. So let's jump into this prophecy from Daniel almost 2,600 years ago. 600 or so years before Christ came. Verse 20, Daniel says, so he's praying, he's trying to understand, when are the judgments against Israel going to stop? When are they going to be able to live in the holy city of God, Jerusalem? It says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord, my God, for the holy city of my God, speaking about Jerusalem. While I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, this is an archangel, a very high-ranking angel, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. So Gabriel is sent to give Daniel insight and understanding into Daniel's question, how long until the destructions of Jerusalem are complete? When will it stop? Verse 24, here's the answer to Daniel's question. Let me read verse 23, and then we'll go to 24. Verse 23, at the beginning of your plea for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, Gabriel saying, for you are greatly loved, Daniel. Daniel, greatly loved by God, a man of God, yet here he is identifying with the sins of his nation that he hadn't even committed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. So here's the answer to the question of how long God's city will continue to be desolated. It says 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. Now, it's going to seem complicated, but you'll see, by the time we finish, it's going to be very simple, if you'd understand. Daniel is told by Gabriel that there will be 70 weeks. 70 weeks have been decreed until God reverses the effect of sin and restores his kingdom to the earth. 70 weeks until the end of sin and the end of the trampling of God's holy city, Jerusalem. Okay. A week refers to a seven-year period. Okay? So there are 70 seven-year periods. Now, that would be 490 years, but they're not all going to be consecutive. Okay? So we don't, the number 490, not important. 70 weeks, 70 seven-year periods. Let's see how these 70 weeks will unfold. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem. Okay, so he gives us the starting point of the 70 weeks. Okay, now listen. Israel had disobeyed God severely. God sent King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem, and the city of Jerusalem was destroyed, burned to the ground. The temple of God burned to the ground. The walls of the city knocked down. And they were taken captive, the Jews were taken into Babylon. And Jeremiah said, Jeremiah was there, he's another prophet. They were contemporaries, him and Daniel living at the same time. Jeremiah, the Lord told Jeremiah to tell the people, you are going into captivity for 70 years. Okay? And Gabriel, the angel, is now telling Daniel that at the end of the 70 years, when after 70 years, when the Jews are sent back into Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of things that happen. Ezra, book in the Bible, went back
As the 70 years ended, Ezra went back and they rebuilt the temple. And then Nehemiah went back and they rebuilt the walls around the city. Okay. So the angel is saying that from the moment that the edict from Babylon says the 70 years is up and you guys go back to Jerusalem, that's when the 70 weeks begin. Okay. 7-year periods. Okay. And that took place. Babylon was off the scene. Nebuchadnezzar had been overthrown. The Persians came to power. And a guy named King Artaxerxes, okay, he issued the decree they can go back. And that started the clock ticking on the last 70 weeks until God wraps up, does away with sin, and brings heaven to earth. That started it. Okay? Let's continue. Hang with me because you'll see. It's going to actually, in fact, Carlos is going to let me know if he could get this, and that'll let me know that I made this to where it can be grasped. Okay? Now, if you want to go back and study this, I highly recommend it because you will be blown away at this prophecy, as well as many others. Okay, so let's continue. Okay, so he says, know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem, okay, King Artaxerxes did that, to the coming of an anointed one. This is a reference to Jesus Christ, an anointed one. A prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Then for 62 weeks, it shall be built again with squares and moat, but in a troubled time. So the first unit of 7 weeks is a 7-week period. That's 49 years. It covers the time it took to rebuild the walls and streets of Jerusalem. Then it says there will be 62 weeks, which is 434 years, that will cover the time till the coming of the anointed one, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's 480 consecutive years. When this was written, at the time that Artaxerxes sent the Jews back to rebuild Jerusalem, 483 years later to the day Jesus Christ was born. Now, Jim is clapping because he's been to seminary and he studied this a little further. You don't need to, because I'm telling you, it is all, there are those that can say to the day it coincides. So here, Daniel is being given a prophecy of when Christ would come. And it's exactly when he came. You can't plan this stuff. Can you plan when you were born? Come on. Are you kidding me? When you look at the other prophecies about Jesus Christ that had to be fulfilled, because the other prophets describe the coming of the anointed one. Daniel just said exactly when, okay? But the other prophecies describe who, where he would be born. How do you plan something like that? It's impossible. It's impossible. I get really excited about this because I'm telling you guys something. Jesus wins. He wins. Okay. So, all right. So now we've got 7 weeks and 62 weeks. How many weeks is that altogether? 69. But it said there will be 70 weeks until God establishes his kingdom on earth. There's a delay between the 69th and the 70th week. We are presently in that delay. We're waiting for the final week, the final 7-year period. The 70th or final week, the final 7-year period is the 7-year tribulation that begins when the church, when Christ comes in the clouds and he raptures, and the dead in Christ rise first, and then those who are alive and remain rise up with him. We're waiting for the 70th week. and the church age takes place, coming of Christ, and then the church age, and we're waiting now for the last week. Let's take a prophetic peek at some of the happenings during the 70th, the last week, verse 27. Okay. It says, oh, well, hang on. Did I read far enough? Did I read 26? I didn't read 26, did I? Okay. Let me read it. And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off. Okay? So he comes and he's cut off. Jesus dies and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince, now this prince is Satan. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed. This is a prophecy of the many destructions of Jerusalem. It's also a prophecy that can refer to the sufferings of Israel as we wait for the last week. To date, it's been over 2,000 years, the church age, in which we are waiting for that 70th week to begin, 70th week, okay? So look at verse 27. Now again, when Daniel's writing this down, he doesn't know Jesus Christ is the name of the Messiah. They know a Messiah is coming. They know a little. By the way, the Bible tells us that what the prophets wrote about, what they thought about, what they dreamed about, we know and we see because we live in the church age and we look back and say, oh my gosh, it's Jesus. They didn't know that. They were just talking about something that they knew was coming. They were saved by their faith in the fact that God would send a Messiah someday, but we know who the Messiah is. And we don't look forward to his coming. He already came. We look back at it. We look forward to his second coming. Okay. All right. Look at verse 27. And he, speaking of Satan, the Antichrist actually here, and the Antichrist shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. He's speaking of that 70th week, that 70-year period. And for half of the week, 3.5 years, he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. Now, Daniel wrote that down. I don't think Daniel knew half of what we know about what he was writing. So the he refers to the Antichrist, the future world leader. There will be a one world leader. There will be a one world government. And now there are so many other teachings and prophecies that help us to look at Daniel and to understand this. But he, the Antichrist, during the 70th week will make a covenant. Okay? And he's actually going to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, the Jewish temple. Now, I'll tell you why that's so amazing, because right now, sitting on the site, the only site where the Jewish temple can be rebuilt is the Dome of the Rock, the high holy place of Islam. So there's going to be a leader that rises to power. He's going to temporarily solve all the problems in the Middle East and all the problems in the world. See all the problems in the world? Everything, it's just going crazy, and there's a movement to go through, you know, one world government, take the borders down. There's only one world. God established nations. Did you know that? The movement towards, and I'm not saying everyone that's in it, most people don't even understand these things, but the movement to a one world government is what the scriptures tell us is the movement towards the 70th week. And when that one world government arises, there will be one leader, and his name will be the Antichrist. During the final week, and he will rise up during the tribulation, the 70th week, And during that time, the temple of God will be rebuilt. And for the first half of the 7 years, the Jews will once again be able to offer sacrifices to God. But at the halfway point of the tribulation, 3.5 years in, remember 42 months, 1,260 days, if you've been coming and listening, and if you're serious about this stuff, then you're remembering all these things, and it kind of ties together beautifully, even though I wouldn't die for any of this stuff. I just know that what? Jesus wins. But we think about these things, and we start to see, and you can actually open your eyes and see it unfolding right before our eyes. Right before our eyes, this is happening. For half of the week, the second half, Antichrist will put an end to sacrifices and offerings in the Jewish temple that he had rebuilt. That's the midpoint of the tribulation. And Antichrist will commit the last abomination that causes desolation in Jerusalem by standing in the temple of the Jews, the rebuilt temple, and demanding that people worship him as God. At that time, an all-out and fierce persecution will come against the nation of Israel. Now, you say, Joe, you're saying a lot of things here. Well, I'm not just getting this from Daniel. I'm getting this from the rest of the scriptures. I guess in a sense you can trust me or you can just study it yourself. So let me take you now. Jesus spoke about this. You're going to be amazed at what you're about to see. Matthew chapter 24. I don't usually do these kind of prophetic messages, but, it's exciting. It's really exciting. Okay, so let's go to Matthew 24. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. Okay? So I believe that the 62 weeks, the 7, and then the 69th week ends when Christ actually rose from the grave, okay? Birth, or I'm not really sure. To be honest with you, I'm not really sure of it. But it's either the beginning of his life. I think it's more likely, Jim, is it the end? Or Gino, you might know that. Is it the end of his life or the beginning that? They don't know. Okay, good. So none of us know, but it's okay. Jesus wins. Yeah, you think the end? I think it's the end of his life. All right. So Jesus is now at the end of his life, and listen to what he says. Matthew 24, verse 15. You ready for this? So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place. Now, I want you to take those verses down for a second because I have to read a little bit more to you. I'm going back. I didn't put this in my notes, so Travis, you couldn't have known this. But when I was doing my final preparation this morning, I just kind of review. I want to read to you from verse 3. This is Jesus hanging out with his disciples right before he goes to the cross. It says, and he sat on the Mount of Olives, Jesus, and the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? They asked. And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pangs. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And then Jesus says, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place. What I said, when you see during this last week, when the Antichrist stands up in that temple and does the final and worst desecration of the holy temple of God by demanding people worship him, when you see that, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house, and let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. Jesus, we're getting the secrets of the future, of what's going to take place. So Jesus basically says, when you see this happen, and we believe, we don't fight over it, we don't die for it, we believe that this event is going to be at the midpoint of the 70th week, which is still future, when the world leader, the one world leader, stands up and demands people worship him. He says, when you see that, run for your lives. The persecution will be mainly against the nation of Israel. By the way, you know, most of the nations from the days of back in Israel's time have come and they've gone. Somehow, some way, Israel, they came, they seem to go, but God's chosen people don't disappear. And in some years, in our lifetime, the nation of Israel was resurrected. They went back and got their land, but they have been in these prophecies all along. Because God knows all of the things that are going to take place. So now what I want to do is quickly, I want to jump back to Revelation now. I've been waiting to tell you this. And I think this is the right time. So now let's jump back to Revelation, and we're just going to do a few verses, okay? And let's pick up where we left off in chapter 12. Now remember, John is seeing these things in a vision, and he's writing everything down. So we're up to chapter 12. Let's pick up in verse 1. It says, and a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. The woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, with 12 stars, represents the nation of Israel. Okay? With the 12 tribes, 12 sons of Israel. Israel was a man named Jacob. God changed his name to Israel. He is the father of the nation of Israel, and this is the nation of Israel. And you'll see that pretty clearly as we continue to go through just these few verses and the rest of the book of Revelation. Verse 2. She, the nation of Israel, was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and in the agony of giving birth. The woman, which represents the nation of Israel, was pregnant and in the pain and agony of giving birth without the luxury of an epidural. Okay? She was pregnant, referring to the fact that Jesus Christ was about to be birthed to the earth as an Israelite. Okay? Verse 3. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. This is a reference to Satan. Not the Antichrist. This is Satan himself. A great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. Okay. So another sign appears in heaven. Satan shows up on the scene in John's vision. He has 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 diadems. I'm guessing, honey, you're the expert on jewelry. Diadem, is that, we don't even, it's, what? Crowns, diadems, okay. So, just a thought. Satan, though the epitome of evil, is quite the impressive being. Quite the impressive being. Verse 4, just a few more verses. 3 more verses. His tail, the dragon's tail, swept down 1/3 of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. Okay? So the dragon, Satan, swept down. In this vision, John sees him show up, and he sees his tail sweeps down 1/3 of the stars in heaven. This is a reference to the rebellion of Lucifer. You can read about it in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, okay, other prophets. Referring to the rebellion of Lucifer, who was a high created angelic being, he rebelled against God, and when he was kicked out of heaven, he took 1/3 of the angels with him. Those angelic beings became demons. And John is, this is being disclosed to him in a vision. Now, just remember, before we get, Jesus wins. But this other stuff is really exciting, and it really helps us to begin to understand what's taking place. Okay? So back to, it says, and the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth. So this dragon is confronting the nation of Israel, about to give birth. That's back at right before the end of the 69th week. Okay? About to give birth. So that when she bore her child, he might devour it. A reference to after Jesus was born. He had, remember, there was an issue decreed that all children 2 years and younger would be killed. This is referring to that. Satan was doing everything he could to prevent Jesus Christ from going to the cross. Okay? Verse 5. She gave birth to a male child. That's Jesus. One who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Okay? The child was caught up to heaven, speaking of Jesus after his death, rising from the dead, but then ascending to heaven after his resurrection. It says, and the woman fled. See, it jumps from Christ's ascension to now the middle point of the 70th week, the last and final 7-year period known as the 7-year tribulation. And it jumps right there, and it says, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. This refers to the fact that at the midpoint of the tribulation, when the Antichrist stands in the temple he allowed to be rebuilt on behalf of the Jews, when he turns on them and calls the world to worship him, and all out, he says, now wipe the Jews out once and for all. How many times the nations have tried to wipe out the Jews? And this will be the last time. And she will flee. Now, we're going to talk later. What I'm doing is I'm really setting the table for what's going to come as we continue through the book of Revelation. And this will give you a foundation to understand some of the symbols, what they mean, and what's going to take place. But the woman fleeing into the wilderness refers to Israel being persecuted by the Antichrist in the second half of the tribulation period. Okay, now we're going to stop here, and I'm going to just kind of wrap up. So great are the prophecies from Daniel. Some have mathematically figured out that Daniel predicted the birth and resurrection of Jesus Christ to the day. To the day. So what does this mean for us? What does it mean? Well, we know Jesus wins. We know that that we can trust God's word. Okay. I mean, guys, the chances of a nation like Israel becoming a state, was it 1963? Was it 63? Okay. The chances of that, it's never happened before. And here they are in the middle, Israel, I was there a few years ago. They're in the middle of people that hate them and want to destroy them and outnumber them by who knows how many to one, okay? And they can, 74 to 1, did you say? It's a lot. And they cannot eradicate them because here we're reading about them. They will be around in that last seven-year period, the 70th week that we are waiting for. That I believe, again, I could be wrong, but I believe that last seven-year period will begin when Christ, when the trumpets are blown and the dead in Christ rises first, and then the church is raptured to be with him, and then 7 years, a leader will rise up, and he's going to bring answers. But he's so diabolically evil that he will cause more destruction and he will usher in an all-out persecution against all people. And he will, listen to this, and I'll just give you a little tip. I don't know if it's coming next week or the week after. But this one world, you say, Joe, this is far-fetched, isn't it? Oh, no. It might have been far-fetched 100 years ago. Far-fetched? Because the Bible tells us this leader will cause all of us to take a mark. And without that mark on our wrist or our forehead, we will not be able to purchase anything. Who could have even imagined something like that happening when this was written over 2,000 years ago? Who could have even imagined? Who could have imagined the technological advances? And here we are living at a time when these things are being, let's do away with money. Let's have a one world currency. And then we can, you don't even have to carry a credit card. We'll just put a little chip over here or over here. And if you don't, and that chip is called the mark of the beast. And if you don't have that chip, you'll not be able to buy or sell. It's like, wow. You don't have to imagine that happening. You can see it. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to patiently await with confidence and hope the second coming of our champion, Jesus Christ. I want you to recognize that what really matters in this life that we live is that Jesus will soon, in a stunning and glorious way, return and save all of those that are his. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for giving us hints and tips throughout the scriptures. I don't think anyone has ever had as much information as we do now to be able to look and see how everything you said will come true. Thank you that we know this. Help us to remember it. In the midst of our challenges and suffering and sicknesses and financial crises and everything that we go through, we have something that is so much more meaningful. We know that you win and you're taking us, your people, with you. Thank you for that. Help us to never forget those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Give me one magnificent obsession.
sing that again. Give me wine pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession. Jesus, give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you. To know and follow hard after you. To grow as your disciple in the truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on, I will run after you. Give me wine pure in holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession. Jesus, give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you. To know and follow. To know and follow hard after you. To grow as your disciple in the truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on, and I will run after you. To know and follow hard after you. To grow as your disciple in the truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord.
Let's try this. How's that? Yeah. What great words, to know and follow hard after you, right? What a great reminder to walk our daily lives. And how Jesus, I love this song. And man, we've hit some good ones today. It's ones I haven't heard in a while. But how the world pales in comparison to the splendor and grandeur of Jesus Christ. And how when the Antichrist comes and when Jesus returns to remove him, how we'll know the difference, because he will pale in comparison to Jesus. And that's because Jesus has earned everything through his death and his sacrifice. So Job gave us a step away, right? And it was in patience and in confidence, eagerly await the return of the Lord. So, you know, if you're stressed out about cases rising and having to wear masks or the inconvenience of all that, in patience and in confidence, eagerly await the return of the Lord. Or if you're wanting to see reconciliation happen across the races in this country and across the world, enter into that conversation with patience and confidence, right? While we're eagerly awaiting the return of the Lord. Or if you're struggling with or facing something that you think, I can't figure this out, I can't do it, in my world, my day-to-day is severely impacted by whatever this is. Whatever that is for you. It could be finances. It could be any of those things. Lord, lead us on. And we'll run after you in patience and confidence. Eagerly wait for the return of the Lord. It's pretty simple. And how that stands in contrast to the world that is running around like a chicken with its head cut off. Isn't that what's happening, though? We're clawing our eyes out, pulling our hair out. We don't know what's happening, but we can, in confidence and impatience, await the return of the Lord. That's what I have. Joe, thank you so much for the sermon this morning. It was great. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Yeah. Just a few announcements and we'll be dismissed. I've got my my little notes here, so I won't jack up the time like I did last week. So Tuesday night, every Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, Gino's small group, the House of Prayer, meets to pray over prayer requests and just over this church. And then we have our prayer service at 7 o'clock. You can be here. We have people showing up in the room. We love it when people show up in the room. So don't just join us online. If you want to be in the room and be prayed for, we would love to do that for you. So every Tuesday, 7 o'clock, Concrete and Cranes, VBS, will continue our third week this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. You can still RSVP, and there's plenty of links there to do that on the website. Youth Camp is also continuing its week, and it'll be this Thursday, and it'll be at 5 o'clock here in the building. So make sure your students, middle school and up, join us, Travis and his team, at 5 o'clock. And then finally, we have our men's breakfast at 8 a.m. This coming Saturday. And so, guys, make sure you get together. It was a great time last month. And so if you're new or you're not connected and you're a guy in this room, I would personally invite each of you to join me and Rick, our men's director, and the rest of the men's ministry team for a great time around the table at breakfast. Okay? All right, why don't you all stand with me and we'll dismiss. Lord, thanks so much for this morning. And God, I thank you that you are everything. And that you, God, Jesus, as you have earned everything, God, that you stand in stark contrast to everything else in the world. And while everything else pales in comparison to you, Lord, we are eagerly and patiently awaiting your return. And I'm excited. Man, you know, just getting closer and closer to that day. And there'll be a time where we won't have to imagine anymore what heaven's going to be like. We're going to be with you. And you are God with us. And so, God, thank you so much for that. And Lord, help us to be the church and to continue to respond in these times that are changing by the day. No matter what the issue is or the issues, Lord, that face us, may we stand in contrast, Lord, to the world that is running around with its head falling off. May we keep ours, but most importantly, Lord, may we keep our hearts that you've infused with your spirit so that we could respond with your hands. Thank you for this morning. It's in your name. Amen. Thank you guys for joining us. You're dismissed.